alright. Alright, alright, so here we are. Living it day by day, you are a superstar. At least that's what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each episode, OWW Radio, will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. My name is David, and today I welcome wrestling star, hitman for hire, Mr. Grimm, to the program. I'm looking forward to hearing about his journey in pro wrestling up to this point, and what he has planned for the future. Mr. Grimm, welcome to OWW Radio.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it. How have you been? How's 2017 treating you?
Well, actually, 2017 has, been my most successful year so far. I actually feel like I'm, coming out of my shell right now. So It's been a very good year for me.
You are the Hitman for Hire. Tell us about the Hitman for Hire character.
Well, for one, this is a very, Mr. Grimm is a very serious character. And when I say that, it's like, he doesn't mess around. One thing you do not mess with is his money and, him getting his money. So if you come in between him completing his contracts, then you'll have an issue with him. And that's not really what you want. So, going into more about Mr. Grimm is he's a hitman for hire. You put out a contract on somebody and he handles the job. And after it's over, he puts you in a body bag and carries you away. Where you end up after that is, totally up to him. There's no guarantee that, there's no guarantee that you're still going to be alive after you, have an encounter with him.
Well, how long, Mr. Grimm, have you been a professional wrestler?
3 years.
3 years. Very good. And where did you grow up?
It's funny because you would think I was a military kid with the way, with how much I've moved around. Many cities in Maryland, D.C., that's pretty much where I've, resided this whole time. And I went to, five different elementary schools. Was it two different middle schools and three different high schools? So
that can be very hard on a family, and I give you a lot of credit. You've done very well for yourself. Talk about your first exposure to professional wrestling. Certainly in the Baltimore, Washington area, there's a great tradition of professional wrestling. How did you get exposed to the business?
All right. It's funny because before I started wrestling, I was actually playing football in college. And One day my van decided, that the transmission was going to go out. So I wasn't able to go 3 hours and 40 minutes to school anymore. So I had a friend, I still have him. His name was Shelby. And he had hit me up one day, and it was this company in Baltimore called RCW. And he said, "Hey, man, how would you feel about doing security for a wrestling show?" So, I was thinking, all right, get paid to pretty much watch wrestling and make sure people do what they're supposed to do. My kind of deal. So he told me about it. I was interested. And when we got there, I just started networking. I just started networking with people and just went from there. I talked to a guy he goes by the name of Sicken now. Yeah, he had told me about, he had his own school where I could train at. It was him. I talked to Kindred, Kamari. I'm not sure if you know who that is.
Demon Vampire, member of the Vampire Community Alliance. Excellent pro wrestler.
Yep, him, Black G's, Christian York, Greg Excellent. Those are and the show that I did, I didn't know who she was, but, Jade from TNA, I saw her on that show, and I fell in love automatically.
Yeah, she used to go by Mia Yim.
Yim.
She's a local star here. I just worked a show with her 2 weeks ago in Leesburg, Virginia. She wrestled Kennedy Brink. It was an excellent, excellent women's match. She's actually a fantastic talent.
Yeah, actually, both of them are. I've been following Kennedy, for a while, even when she was at MCW. I remember how she used to be heavy set, and she did a hell of a job at, cutting down on weight. And now, she looks phenomenal. And, she's been training with the Dudleys, and she's, become even better as a worker as well. So You know, hats off to her.
Yeah, she used to be Jessie K.
Yep.
You have a good support system, it sounds like, Mr. Grimm, of people that have helped you, have been mentors in some ways for you, and you were a college football player, so you were very athletic. But when you started actually going to the training, actually to the wrestling training, was it harder than you thought it would be, or were there points along the way where you didn't know if you could do this?
No, I would say the hardest part of it was me knowing my place, because I'm a very outspoken person. And it's the fact that I don't hold my tongue at all. So it was, you know, learning to hold my tongue and to know my place and to understand that, you know, when you're training, it's eyes and ears open, mouth shut. You know, that was my biggest, that was the biggest issue that I had. And my mouth, all like earlier in my career before it even got started, you know, almost put an end to my career before it started. So that's why now, you know, I always preach to people, like, when you're, you know, in the business, you're just starting off, you know, keep your eyes and your ears open, keep your mouth closed. If somebody says something, you know, wait until you, you know, try to ask some questions or try to defend yourself, you know, let them talk. And if you have any questions, just wait till they finish, pull them to the side.
Yeah, I was just conducting an interview recently with the Hounds of Hades, a tag team on the East Coast here, and they said one of the points of advice they always give young wrestlers is search for veterans. When you're in the locker room, search out the veterans and learn as much as you can from the veterans, right?
Yeah, I totally agree with them, but to a certain extent. It's like, because, you know, with some veterans, you don't know how they're going to react to, you know, you coming up to them and, you know, trying to see if it's okay for you to listen or watch them call their match. Like, some people just don't want to be bothered.
Well, that's unfortunate, because it is a constant learning business.
It is. I totally agree. And, you know, what's actually helped me out a lot was reaching out to people and just talking to them, you know, asking them, hey, would you mind critiquing my match? Hey, you know, they give me critiques, and then I would ask probably about maybe five different people. Everybody would say different things, but when they said the same thing, it's like, okay, cool, you know, everybody's saying this, so this is what I need to work on. But, you know, so focus on that first and then worry about, you know, the other details that, you know, that everybody didn't have in common.
When you started training, Mr. Grimm, how long was it until you wrestled your first match?
I started training, it was January that I started training. I had my first match probably in, was it April or May?
Wow.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm going to be completely candid. I'm glad that I did have that match, because it showed me, you know, what I needed to work on, for one. And then it put me in a position where it's like, if I would have waited to be in that position, I probably would have been a little bit more lost, because this is what happened. I was brought in to be a face, and the two people that I was working, it was a tag match. You know, in training, they always said, hey, listen to the vet. So I did exactly what the vet said, but it really wasn't what the promoter wanted me to do. The promoter came in, wanted me to be face, but the, you know, the guys I was working, they were telling me, all right, look, you know, you can give us heat and stuff like that. And, you know, if I go try to tag him, you know, keep me from tagging him and stuff like that. And me, you know, I'm already nervous because it's my first match and I've only been training for like a couple of months, but it was definitely a learning experience, because it made me look bad. Like, I didn't do what the promoter wanted me to do because I was listening to the vets, but I couldn't defend myself and say, hey, the vets told me this is what I should do. That was all about, you know, keeping your eyes and ears open, your mouth closed. Like, just take that one on the chin and just keep moving on from it. But, you know, one thing that helped me realize that I really messed up was one of the fans came up to me after the match and was like, oh, hey, so you're a heel. I was like, oh, no, I was a face. So apparently he knew something, you know, something wasn't right with that.
I'll tell you, Mr. Grimm, that's a very interesting story, because you do want to please your opponents and get along in the ring, and you need that cooperation and coordination to tell a great story. But the promoter is the one who is putting his money on the line that night. So it's a little tug of war there, right?
Yeah, it was a tug of war. And honestly, it didn't help the fact that, you know, with my first match, I walk into the locker room and they show me who I'm working. And it was a guy who has, I guess he had like a racist gimmick. And on his jacket, he had like a jean jacket. And it had like a black person, like with his torso separated from his lower half and like being dragged away or something like that. And I was like, oh, what the hell is this? You know, he had like the Confederate flag and everything. But yeah, it was something, you know, and I beat myself up for it like really bad because, you know, the promoter came up to me and, you know, chewed my ass out because of it. And I wanted to tell him so bad that, hey, this is what they told me to do.
Yeah.
You know, so it made me look bad. And honestly, that right there was one of the reasons that that was actually the beginning of, you know, what almost, you know, caused me to get blackballed before I even started. Because my home promotion, the owner of it, who, you know, he honestly gets mad about everything, hence why I'm no longer with them. But they got mad because I worked a show in Pennsylvania before I worked a show in Maryland, where, you know, where I was training at. And I mean, the way I thought about it, I'm like, you know, wouldn't you prefer me to mess up other places opposed to, you know, debuting here and then messing up here?
I think that's a fair point. I think if I was your promoter, I'd want you working every night, everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because every time you're in the ring, I'm a ring announcer, and every time I'm in the ring, I feel like I learned something. And I, you know, certainly don't have the physical demands or the requirements of my job that you have. And I wanted to talk about the Hitman for Hire character because it's so critical, I believe, for young wrestlers to find that right persona. So talk about who came up with the Hitman for Hire. Was it you? Was it someone giving you an idea? And how the Hitman for Hire has kind of evolved since it began?
Well, it started as this. When I was a backyarder, I was actually a backyard wrestler before I started training. I had like a hooded gimmick, and it was called Grimm. And it was kind of stupid at the time because it was just like me wearing all black and wearing like a spawn mask. And now that I think of it, I'm like, you know, I'm glad that I didn't do that because I would have got, you know, they would have humiliated me. But the thing about it was I was doing a football gimmick beforehand, and I was trying to do that temporarily because I wanted to get in the business so quick, and people would say, hey, you know, if you have a gimmick, that's half the battle right there. And I was like, oh, yeah, I was a football player. And when I was a backyarder, you know, I did a football gimmick. So I decided to try to, you know, transition that into pros, and it went horribly wrong. Like, I couldn't get bookings. For one, I could, like, even though I had my own, you know, I made it my own. And it's very unfortunate that as time went on, like towards the time that I was actually giving that gimmick up, that's when, you know, everything started to gel for me with that gimmick. But I wasn't getting booked because you had the D-line, you had Mr. Touchdown, and you had like other people that were doing, you know, football gimmicks, and it really didn't help my case. I found myself, it was like, you know, I was a decent worker, but I could not get opportunities because, you know, it was just oversaturated with talent who were doing football gimmicks. Like, it was a couple of places that I couldn't even work because they already had a football gimmick.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting.
Yeah, it was very difficult.
So after you started putting together the Hitman for Hire character, did you feel like you grew in confidence and your career started to really take off?
Yeah, I did. But going to that, getting rid of the football gimmick, that's what I wanted to do. And I wanted to be, I wanted in a sense to be like to have a rebirth. So what I did was because I had hair when I had the football gimmick, you know, I cut my hair and, you know, I had a new look. And it was funny because people didn't even realize who I was, you know, when I came, like once I debuted, you know, Mr. Grimm, like people were just looking at me and they were like, oh, hey, nice to meet you. Hey, my name is this and this and this. I'm like, we've already met. Yeah, going back to what you were saying, you know, how it all originated. I was trying to come up with a gimmick, and the person who helped me, she's been helping me out, you know, since we met. Her name is, I'm not sure if you know her, but her name is Nyla Rose.
Yeah, I do know Nyla. Yeah, I've actually done some acting with her.
Yep, that's honestly, she has a big part in, you know, the Mr. Grimm character, you know, because me and her, we came up with it. We came up with the idea because she was telling me, she's like, all right, you did this gimmick and you didn't get booked because other people were doing this gimmick. So why don't you look and come up with a gimmick that nobody is doing? So, you know, I went over like a couple of things, you know, and it was funny because I had a group, a faction that I was with that was called the Hit Squad or something like that, I believe, or the something Hitman. I forgot what they were. And I was like, you know what? Why don't I be the Hitman? Like, I don't see a whole bunch of people doing the Hitman. I see bounty hunters, you know, and I don't see Hitman on the indie circuit. Or if it's people that are calling themselves Hitman, they're not doing anything Hitman related.
Okay.
So then, you know, me and her, we were talking. He was like, hey, how about you become a Hitman? I was like, you know what? That's a good idea. So then, like, we started coming up with ideas. And I told her, I'm like, yo, I want to be different. I want to do stuff that people really aren't doing. And, you know, me and her, we came up with, you know, wearing the dress shirt and stuff, but I was like, all right, if I wear the dress shirt, how about I cut the sleeves off? And she was like, you know what? That's actually a good idea because you don't see too many people working, you know, with a dress shirt with the sleeves cut off. I mean, Right to Censor did it, but, you know, who was really doing it after that?
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to do that, and, you know, I needed ideas. It was funny, like, how everything just transpired and just, you know, came together like a, like, puzzle pieces, you know, just and it just became one big completed puzzle after everything was said and done, because I was on Instagram and, you know, just looking up stuff, and they had this this part on Instagram where you can just see random stuff, you know, that's trending. And then I saw something about comic books, so I started looking at comic books, and then I came across this guy. His name was Comic X85, I believe. And his real name was Johnny Flores. And he's a comic book artist. So I talked to him, and I was like, hey, you know, I told him I was a wrestler and I was looking to, you know, do a new character. And I, like, was trying to see if he could draw something up for me. And what he drew, he gave me this step-by-step picture. It was like it started off, you know, in pencil, then are like little circles. Then it went from the circles to, you know, having like lines in it. Then it went from lines to actually coming together. Then, you know, everything just started coming together, and then it was just like, yo, like, he created, like, the look of Mr. Grimm. He made the skull. Like, everything that I wear, like, my gear, he created the gear. You know, all of that is because of him. His name is Johnny Joseph Flores on Facebook, and, you know, he's been a very big help when it's come to, like, my gear and stuff like that. The TNT jersey over a tombstone, and everybody's trying to figure out what's going on. Like, you know, it was just a very fun process, honestly.
And Mr. Grimm joining me here, the Hitman for Hire on OWW Radio. Excellent to have you on the show tonight. Talking about the creation of your character, which is so critical, but could you talk a little bit about who you patterned your moveset or your style in the ring after? Maybe a wrestler in the past or a current wrestler that you admire now? Or did you create your own style?
Honestly, my trainer, his name is, his gimmick name is Matt Wild from Riot City.
Yep.
You're familiar with him.
Sure.
Yeah. So he had a strong, like, his gimmick or his wrestling style, he wrestles like strong style. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to kind of mold myself to be similar to the person that trained me. Like, that's how I started. But then, you know, I started talking to people like Drolix, Nui Tafiga, Black G's, and especially Nyla, and they were telling me, okay, you're a big guy who, you know, works strong style, but what can you do to stand out? Like, what can you do that other big guys aren't doing? And I was thinking about that. I'm like, you know what? Why don't I try to do things that people wouldn't expect me to do?
Mm-hmm.
So one day at training, you know, my trainer was like, he said, hey, what do y'all want to learn how to do? And I was like, I want to learn how to do a moonsault, like a standing moonsault, just like that. And he was like, all right, I'm not going to lie to you. I can't do it, but I'll show you how to do it. So he stood there and he was like, look, all you do is just stand up, stand straight. You know, you jump, put your head back, and just keep looking up. So I was like, all right, it's just like that. He was like, yeah, it's just like that. So on the first try that I did it, landed it perfectly. So like from there, it was like, I was wondering, you know, if I could do this, what else could I do?
Yeah, so
It went from there to, you know, going back to Sicken. When I was training up at his facility, you know, he showed me how to do a 450. And just like the moonsault, I tried it, landed it the first try. So, you know, then I had that with my, you know, in my arsenal. So it's like now, you know, I'm doing standing moonsaults. I can do 450s. Then I was like, you know, if I can do a 450, what else can I do flipping-wise? So then he had, you know, a trampoline. So I was trying, like, acai moonsaults. I was doing that, doing dives out the ring. Then, you know, it just... One day, I was just like, you know what? I want to actually try this in a match. And once I did it, like, the crowd, you know, loved it. So I just, you know, started evolving into not just a big man, but a big man who can move like a little guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, as time went on, I just started adding, you know, watching videos and adding stuff to my arsenal. Like, I was watching a video of Ricochet, and I saw... It said, like, the top 50 moves of Ricochet. And I saw he did a springboard forearm. And I was like, you know what? That'll look cool. But what if instead of doing the forearm, what if I did a springboard, you know, Superman punch? So it started off as a springboard Superman punch. Then I was talking to people. His name is Wildwell. I was talking to different people, but Wildman Congo, he's the one that brought this to my attention. He was like, all right, you do a springboard Superman punch. But right now, you know, you have Roman Reigns who does a Superman punch, and it looks good right now. So why don't you try something different? He's like, why don't you try springboard clothesline? So I was like, okay, cool. So then I started doing a springboard clothesline, and I did that for a while. Then, like, just a couple of weeks ago, I saw, what is his name, Flip Gordon. I think his name is Travis Flip Gordon.
Yeah.
I saw that he does, I was watching one of his highlight videos, and he did a springboard swing blade. And I was like, cool, let me try that. So in the match, I had a match at Warriors of Wrestling in New York, and I tried it, and it looked good. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to start doing this. So it's just all my moves just managed to, you know, come off of me seeing other people do it.
Mm-hmm.
But just putting my own tweak on it.
Talk, if you will, about the creation of a good promo, using the microphone, connecting with the audience. I think this is really difficult for a lot of wrestlers. Some wrestlers have a great look. They're great in the ring. They can do spots. But when it comes to emoting what their character's trying to tell in that story, it's very hard for them. How has that been for you?
I tend to work better on the fly, like when it comes to promos. Sometimes I have a hard time, you know, if I'm rehearsing promos. But if somebody gives me a mic and they tell me to, hey, cut a promo, I'm pretty decent, you know, to where I can cut a promo and get my point across. But it's very important because a lot of people, like you said, they lack the promo, like the skills of cutting good promos. And you never know, like WWE and ROH, promos are big with them. I talk to a lot of guys in ROH, and they say when you do the ROH camp, they have, you know, like a specific section where you're doing promos. And if you can cut a good promo, that might be the difference in, you know, them picking you up or giving you an opportunity and them not giving you an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Because just like with WWE, they can teach you how to wrestle. But sometimes it's hard teaching people how to, you know, organically cut a promo.
I agree. You have had a lot of great mentors and been in the ring with, I mean, I know a lot of these individuals you're talking about, and they are fantastic and great people to learn from. But we are very lucky, Mr. Grimm, now with the WWE Network, YouTube, NWAClassics.com, whatever it is, all these great historical matches available to us. Can you talk a little bit about learning from the past, what you take and what you can find on the internet that's maybe helped you become a better wrestler?
Yeah. Honestly, I like watching a lot of Chris Benoit. I know, you know, that's like the forbidden fruit of wrestling or with WWE, but, you know, I was a big fan of Chris Benoit, and I'm still a fan of Chris Benoit. Like, one reason is, like, because his, you know, just him going from transition to transition, he was like the little guy who, you know, he was like a little dog who had the bite, you know, of a pit bull, and that's kind of how it was.
Mm-hmm.
With him, and I adopted some of, you know, the things that he does, and just recently I just started, you know, doing Germans. You know, with him, it was just like I was so mesmerized when he would wrestle. It's just crazy, like the way, like the things that he does. But you know, just learning from, you know, him, you know, watching Kurt Angle. I have been watching, you know, some of Big Boss Man stuff a little bit. Like, people, they've been telling mm-hmm. me, you know, because I started off, you know, with the gloves, and they're like, oh, hey, you look like Mr. Hughes. And, you know, I tend to watch the people that they say that I resemble
mm-hmm.
so I can learn a little bit more. But, you know, having YouTube, having the WWE Network, you know, people, they can study for hours, like, just look, and not just at, you know, the Attitude Era or, you know, the WCW versus, you know, Raw. But even before then, like when you had Nick Bockwinkel, you know, Bobby the Brain Heenan, and
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so much at your fingertips that it's just crazy. Like, if they had all of this back then, just imagine how advanced we will be now. I'm almost scared to see how the wrestlers will be, you know, say 10, 20 years from now, because then they're going to have more technology at the tip of their fingers that they can use. That we don't have, that our, you know, the generation before us didn't have.
Yeah. I want to add to that. I one of the interviews I did recently, I thought it was interesting that the wrestler said it's important to study, like, the Nick Bockwinkels and the great pro wrestlers of the past, but it's also very important to study the great pro wrestlers of today, because it shows you what the audiences want and what the promoters want today. So I thought that was an interesting juxtaposition, Mr. Grimm, that you really want to study both, right?
Yeah, you definitely do. And that was going back to what I said about adopting, you know, the tendencies of people that, you know, the people that I resemble.
Mm-hmm.
One person that, you know, I get, that they say that I remind them of is a guy named Keith Lee. Like, they said, you know, you're like a big guy who can move, like, and do, like, the flips like Keith Lee. And I looked at his stuff and I was like, you know what? That's true. Like, a lot of the stuff that he does, like, he's, like, 300-plus. You know, I'm just 260.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, a real solid guy, like, you know, moving like a cruiserweight and doing things that they do. So it's like I look, you know, I've been watching a lot of his stuff. I actually had the liberty of doing a show with him up at Limitless Wrestling in Maine where, you know, I finally got to meet him. You know, we sat and talked for a minute, and I actually hit him up on Facebook. And I had a match with A.R. Fox, and, you know, I sent it to him. He critiqued it for me, gave me some good advice. You know, it's good to have people out there, you know, who are some of the top indie wrestlers of this time right now who are openly willing to help. And not just willing to help, but saying thank you to me because I asked them for their help.
So going forward, who would some of your, not dream opponents, but you know what I mean, some wrestlers that you'd love to step in the ring with, that you think you could have a great match with?
Want me to give you a list of five, list of 10, or where are we going with this?
Whatever you'd like. How many are on the Hitman's list?
All right, well, the first one on my list, I would have to say Keith Lee, because, you know, he's one of the guys that I idolize that's on the indie circuit right now. Two, you know, another person who helps me out a lot, you know, and I'm pretty sure people, they wouldn't expect him to help me. But Shane Strickland, I talk to Shane Strickland a lot. Like, I send him, you know, my matches. And, you know, the last time I saw him, he was like, hey, man, you know, I had some connects in Fort Florida. If you, you know, if you want to get down here, just send me your stuff and I can pass them around. And Shane Strickland, I've been trying to get in the ring with Shane Strickland. Leo Rush, definitely Ricochet, David Starr. David Starr is another person that, you know, I would love to get in the ring with because – you know, he's just technically sound, one of the best around. Jonathan Gresham, of course, and Matt Riddle. You know, people, they've been telling me that they think that I would have a good match. I actually got tagged in a post of like a fan saying that they wanted to see me and Matt Riddle, you know, have a match. But another guy I would say is probably underrated that's on this list is Eric Chappell. I'm not sure if you know who Eric Chappell is, but he wrestles for MCW, and he's a part of the Ectorage. And it was very unfortunate because I've been trying to get into a match with Eric Chappell for a while now. Then when it finally happened, I had to call out of the show because WOW, they had a storyline that they were finishing up, and they needed me to be a part of it. So, you know, I missed that opportunity, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, there will be more opportunities coming up. Yeah, that's my list.
By the way, Mr. Grimm, what do you do when you're not wrestling?
I'm a family guy. You know, I have a family. You know, my kids come first. Work-wise, I do Uber. You know, do Uber, do Lyft. My family, they have their own store that they – well, I can say we. We have our own thrift store, so I help run that. Mm-hmm. We also have ice cream trucks that now that the weather is breaking, we're getting them ready to get back on the road. We have that. You know, I just do a little bit of everything. Any way that I can make money – well, not any way, but a legal way to make money, then, you know, I'm down to do it, honestly.
I got you. I got you. I also saw – are you eating something?
No, I'm sorry. That was a trash bag. Had to throw a body away.
Yeah, I also saw on ProWrestlingTees.com you have a couple T-shirt designs for sale. That's an important piece to this too, right, is that take advantage of social media, take advantage of the internet, not only to make an extra dollar or two, but also to kind of promote your character.
Yeah, that's promoting is very important. You know, if it's any, you know, up-and-coming wrestlers that are listening right now, that will be listening, you know, you have to market yourself. Marketing is one of the things that my trainer, Matt Wild, taught me. He's like, you have to market yourself. When you go to shows, don't be afraid to network. You know, get people's numbers. Give, you know, you have to network. Going to where the Hitman for Hire came from, because at first I was just Mr. Grimm. You know, just Mr. Grimm. If you were to Google Mr. Grimm, you had a million things pop up. But I was talking to a guy named Louis G. Rich, and he calls himself the wrestler of the millennium, Louis G. Rich, right? So we were talking, and he was saying, hey, have you ever thought about, you know, having, like, your own moniker? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, look, I'm the wrestler of the millennium. Like, you're a hitman. Like, and then he's like, you know, you can be the hitman for hire. I was like, oh, you know what? That's actually a good idea. So as soon as he told me that, I immediately went on Facebook, changed my name from Mr. Grimm to the Hitman for Hire, Mr. Grimm. And, you know, I would say that's probably the best thing that I could have done, because from that moment, you know, everything has been the Hitman for Hire, Mr. Grimm. Like, one thing that I would do, I know it's kind of like, you know, what people call spamming, but I would go on athlete pages, you know, team, like sport team pages, and if they make a post, I'll just put, you know, tag the Hitman for Hire, Mr. Grimm in there. Like, every single where that I could put it, just so, because if you think about it, those sport pages, they have hundreds of thousands of fans. So if they make a post, they might be seen by, you know, a couple of thousand. Even if nobody likes your page, like, they can see, oh, hey, you know, he tagged this person in it. Let me just click on it. That right there can create a new fan just from that.
No question. I agree. I've had Louis G. Rich on OWW Radio before. Really good wrestling mind. He's a really interesting guy. Had a nice career. The wrestler of the millennium. So I think when you're learning from people like this, Mr. Grimm, and taking their advice, it can only help you.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of people, like, in the wrestling business, they say, you know, you got to have alligator skin and, you know, have short-term memory. Like, you have to realize, like, you can't get butt hurt in this business. You're going to have a lot of people that say one thing. Like, say if I send a match to you, you could think it's the best match in the world, best match you've ever seen. But say if I send it to Louis G. Rich, or if I send it to, you know, Black G's, he might think that, you know, it was the worst match ever. Now you have to realize, like, you really just can't, you know, get mad and say, oh, forget it, since he doesn't like my match, I'm just going to, you know, go off of what he said. You have to wonder, why did he say that? Why did this person, like, why did you like my match? And why didn't he like my match? Like, people can't, some people can't take criticism. And if you can't take criticism in this business, like, you do not belong in this business at all. Because, I mean, like I said, I've had people come up to me and say, look, that match was horrible. But at the same time, I've had other people say the match was good. So what I did was I asked the person, why wasn't the match good? What do you think that I can do better? Like, recommendations. And, you know, then they give it to me. Then I look at the match, and I'll be like, you know what, that's a good point. I didn't even notice that I did, you know, what they said that I did. And it was horrible. But other people, they, you know, tend to overlook that. Some people might overlook it. Some people will catch on to it. And you'll have somebody that'll the match, you know, from minute to a T. But then you show it to somebody else, and they pick up something that they missed.
No question. No question. I really enjoyed having the Hitman for Hire on OWW Radio tonight. Tell your fans where they can find you on social media.
All right, on social media, you can go on Facebook. Or, as I always start off with Google. Just go to Google, and you can type in the Hitman for Hire, Mr. Grimm. And, you know, all of my stuff will come out. All of my stuff will come up. Literally, Hitman for Hire, Mr. Grimm. And the very first thing that will pop up is Facebook. That'll be my personal page. Well, not my personal page, but the Hitman for Hire or Mr. Grimm page. Then you can also catch me on Twitter. Just go to the search bar and put Mr. Grimm, that's all one word, underscore, is the number 4, underscore, hire, H-I-R-E. And you'll find me on there.
Okay, excellent. Yep. I want to thank you so much for being on OWW Radio. I really enjoyed the conversation, especially because I know a lot of these wrestlers on the East Coast that you're talking about, and I think that you are spending time and learning and wrestling really great competition. It's only going to help you. You're already off and rolling the Hitman for Hire, Mr. Grimm. I know you have a bright future. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
You got it. Take care.
All right, you too.
Don't forget to check out the OWW website at onlineworldofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. Email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss in an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We'll also be posting directly to the official OWW Facebook homepage. Until next time, I am David. Thanks again to the Hitman for Hire, Mr. Grimm, for today's interview. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio. All right, well, that's okay.